When I was a young boy, like many young boys of my generation, and probably a few since, I used to absolutely love the various TV series produced by Gerry Anderson. You remember them? Filmed in Super Marionation, Stingray, Joe 90, Captain Scarlet. I'm old enough to remember the earlier ones. Supercar, Fireball XL5. But like many, my favourite. There's only one, isn't there? Thunderbirds. So some days when I'm alone, no, I don't. Not anymore. Those days are long gone. If you know about Thunderbirds, of course, you'll know that Thunderbird 2, whatever the danger was, whatever peril people were in, because that's what they were all about, international rescue. Inside the pod of Thunderbird 2 would go the vehicle specific to the rescue required. Bear that in mind. The vehicle specific to the rescue required. That's what this Christmas season is all about. Of course, nowadays we can't call international rescue. Well, we've never been able to really, have we? Although in my head as a child we could. But we can't. You might occasionally have occasion to ring 999. For years and years and years, I never had any reason to ring 999. And yet, over the last 8 or 9 years, with elderly parents, I've found myself ringing that number quite a lot. And they answer the phone very quickly. And there's a question. Do you know what the question is? Which service do you require? So you have some choices, don't you? You can ask for... or... 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 ambulance. Most people forget about the Coast Guard. You can ask for the Coast Guard. Which service do you need? Because whatever the trouble is, whatever the danger is, whatever the peril is, you want something specific to meet the need, don't you? So, if you've got a car doing this, you're probably going to need some help from one of these if it's ever going to get going again. Or whatever is your choice of breakdown service. Or if you ever find yourself in this situation, you'll probably hope that on the horizon very, very quickly appears one of these so that they can do something about it for you. Because if you're in peril and if you're in danger, you want that which can actually come and do something about it for you. So when this is your problem, and you're having a bad day at the rock face, what you might want to hear in not too long a time is one of these that will sort you out and get you to safety pretty quick. But you want something specific to the peril that you're in. So if this is your problem, what you don't need is one of these. Not much use that's going to be. Or if you find yourself in this circumstance, what you're not going to want, they can't do any good for you. So why are we remembering these events that took place 2,000 years ago? And why are these things of concern to us? And why is it that every Christmas time we make the point of just pausing to consider why Jesus came? Well, it's for this reason, you see. What if your problem is this? What if that's the problem? Because you see, the Bible teaches very clearly that that is the problem that lurks inside every single man and woman and boy and girl. The Bible teaches very, very clearly that from the moment that we are conceived in our mother's womb, we have a heart that is sinful and rebellious against God. And from the moment that we breathe our first breath, from the moment that we cry our first cry, tied up inside that little bundle of loveliness is a heart that is capable of conceiving every thought of evil that man has ever conceived. And it's tied up in each one of us. Jesus himself said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. It's out of the heart that all wickedness comes. And it's tied up in every single one of us. Now, of course, I understand, and you do too, because you probably once were in this position, that you look at that truth that's presented to you in the Bible and you tend to think, well, yes, but that's only really bad people. And I'm not really bad. Not really. And these kinds of things that the Bible talks about and the kind of language that the Bible uses, that's only really reserved for the worst of people that we see in the world. But you see, the Bible won't allow us to think that way. And the Bible wants to correct us all the time. And it wants to pierce the pride that's in our hearts and say, actually, no, this is all of you. This is all of us. Because the Bible insists that all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. And that sinful heart that exists within each one of us is the problem that all of us have, that none of us can fix. This sinful heart leads to the peril that all of us are in. Well, what is that peril? Well, it's very simply, but very profoundly this, that the wages of sin is death. And that's a message that we read in the New Testament scriptures from the Apostle Paul. But he's only confirming something that had been written centuries ago in many different ways and in many different places. And it can't be put more clearly or simply than what we read in the book of Ezekiel in the Old Testament, the soul that sins shall die. And it doesn't say the soul that sins a lot compared to the soul that doesn't sin very much shall die. It says all souls that sin will die. All of us are under the wrath of God. All of us are under God's condemnation. All of us face this awful judgment day that we thought about this morning, when in our sin, in that state, we find ourselves standing before a holy God, a God in whom there is no sin, a God who the Bible says his eyes are so pure, he cannot even bring himself to look upon sin. So holy and righteous is he. And yet we will stand before him one day. And unless something can be done, we'll stand before him in our sin, and we'll be condemned, and we'll be judged, and his wrath and his anger will fall upon every man and woman and boy and girl because of the state of our hearts and because of all the sinful things that those hearts have led us to do and to think and to say. And not one of us could stand before the Lord and say, but not me. So what's to be done for such a heart? What's the rescue that's required? It's going to need more than this, isn't it? What's to be done for the sinful heart? Is there anything that a man can do for another man's sinful heart? Is there anything that a man can do for his own sinful heart? Is there anything that can be done to rescue? Is there anything that can be done to save? Well, the message of the whole of the Bible, which begins to work itself out as we remember the events that took place as Christ came into the world, is that God himself has made a plan. God himself has made a way. God himself has prepared a rescue and a rescuer for sinful hearts that lurk inside sinful men and women and boys and girls. Something very specific. We've looked at some of those different rescue vehicles that we are capable of inventing for ourselves. Vehicles that are designed to meet a very specific type of need. Well, the Lord Jesus is God's own very specific Savior who's come into this world in order that he might meet a very specific need and that he alone can meet. And so this is why in these verses that we read every Christmas and that probably we should read much more often and not just at Christmas, we find these declarations about this baby that's about to be born. And so we find that really well-known verse in the first chapter of Matthew as these events are being announced to Joseph and to Mary, that she will bring forth a son and you'll call his name Jesus. This is the angel's reassuring words for Joseph. And why will you call his name Jesus? Because he will save his people from their sins. There's a very specific need that these people are in. That which their own sinfulness is going to bring upon them. There is only one who can bring for them the remedy that they need. And it's the one who has come from God, come down from heaven to men, that he might save and redeem and rescue from sin and from judgment and from the eternal torments of hell. He will save his people from their sins. It's very specific, isn't it? It's very simple. It's very profound. Only one way. And the angels announced to the shepherds that we've come with good tidings of great joy, which is for all people. The whole world is to hear about this. The whole world needs this. God's not going to come back with a plan B and a plan C and a plan D and a plan E. This that God is about to do is going to stand for all generations that follow. This that God is about to do is what all the previous generations through the Old Testament have been looking forward to and being in anticipation of it. And all of their hope and trust in God and in God's salvation was based on the promise that one day this man would come and that these events would take place. For all people, there is born to you this day a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And there is no other. And there is no other way. There is no other Saviour. There is no other Redeemer. But this baby who would suffer and die in the place of sinners, that you might be redeemed and that you might be saved, so that your heart might be completely changed. You can't change your heart of sin. The Bible says, can the leopard change its spots? Can't be done. Well, not by you and not by me. But there is one who can. And that is God. And God changes the sinful heart. We mentioned the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel. It's he who said that God takes away your old, stony, cold, sinful heart. Puts in its place a heart of flesh. A heart that knows and loves God. A heart that can actually be indwelt by God Himself. And all things now made new. This is why Jesus came. This is why we speak of Him so often. This is why we use this Christmas season to bring the message of Christ to the lost. Because there is no other way. How may anyone be saved? Call upon the Lord. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge your need of forgiveness. Acknowledge the change that needs to take place within you that you can't produce, but you know God can. And turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who died in the place of sinners, and the one who rose again victorious from the grave. Put all your hope and trust in Him, that He has taken all your sin and all your guilt in His death on the cross. And as we were reminded this morning, His perfect righteousness now has taken its place in your life within. And on account of that, God may look upon a sinner and now see the completed, wonderful work of His own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who shed His blood, and find you acceptable to Him because of Jesus. For this is why He came. And so this is the Jesus we proclaim. This is the Jesus we present to you this evening. This is the Jesus we point you to. This is the Jesus we would urge you to run to if you never have before, that you might know His cleansing, saving power in your own heart, that He might change you completely, and that you might have the assurance of your sin forgiven, that you might know that Christ now is your hope for heaven and for eternity, because it's all being promised in His word. You can watch your fictional stories of rescue. Let me tell you, the day is coming when Thunderbirds and all that goes with it will be a dim and distant memory left where it should be, way in the past. Only Christ. Only Christ. That's the heart cry of a true believer. Only Christ. My prayer is that for each of you, that will be your heart cry this Christmas and beyond, every day. And on Judgment Day, only Christ. And for all of eternity, only Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this blessed remembrance of the coming of the Lord Jesus into this world. Father, I pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would impress afresh upon each one of us the saving work that he alone could do. The spotless and sinless Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that all of our hope might be in him and in him alone. That he would be our joy. That he would be our life. That he would be our hope. That he would reign in our hearts. That for each of us there will be none compared to him. That we might know him as our Savior, our friend, our brother, and our King, and the one who is our Redeemer and our Lord. Father, please do a mighty work of grace and mercy in many this Christmas time. Cause them to see their need of Christ, that they might run to him and take hold of him, that they might feel his everlasting arms enfold them, never to let them go. We pray it to his glory and praise, and in his name, amen.